Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Alleluia. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The question is not whether you will have a shepherd or not, but which shepherd. The question is not whether you will follow another or be your own boss, but who will you follow? Life is not multiple choice. You can do it this way or this way or this way, whatever you think best or like best. Certainly there are choices we make in life, do this or do that. But those choices also come with consequences. Life and death consequences, sooner or later. And contrary to popular belief, like gender, life is binary. There is a way and choices that lead to life, and there is a way and choices that lead to death. Which will it be for you? Stupid question, right? Except it's not. It's something not just other people, but you are choosing every day. So to help us think about this a little, consider these words from Psalm 49. For we see that even the wise die. The fool and the stupid alike must perish and leave their wealth to others. Their graves are their homes forever, their dwelling places to all generations, though they called lands by their own names. Man in his pomp will not remain. He is like the beasts that perish. This is the path of those who have foolish confidence. Yet after them, people approve of their boasts. Like sheep, they are appointed for Sheol. Death shall be their shepherd. Did you hear that at the end? Death shall be their shepherd. So there it is. That's the choice before you today on this Good Shepherd Sunday. Which will it be for you? The Good Shepherd or a Death Shepherd? Again, stupid question, right? I mean, who would pick a bad shepherd, a deaf shepherd? But people are. Because the deaf shepherd isn't going to call himself that. He's going to call himself the good shepherd and make himself look good and life-giving and fun and logical. Let's look at a few. Shall we? And how about first one of the most popular ones? Yourself. Follow your own instincts, your own desires. Do what you think is best and best for you. Do what feels good. That's living. But is it? Does that give life? A lot of really smart people make really bad decisions. What feels good has led to record-setting levels of drug addiction. And how often have you done something today that tomorrow you regretted? It may have felt good to play that video game instead of studying, but how about the wisdom of the world? Or let's say the majority of people in the world, the pooled wisdom of the world, that's got to be a better guide, right? How often have we been told one thing today and then later the exact opposite? What's good for you today is bad for you tomorrow. And has the majority always been right? And not just 55 or 60 or 75%, but in the days of Noah, all but eight people, 99.99%, thought one way. And it was the eight who were right and were saved. Science. Follow the science. Well, science can be good, no doubt. Science has done some wonderful things. Science has also caused a lot of death. See COVID. Science has caused a lot of pain and confusion. See transgenderism. And how often has science changed its conclusion? What we were so sure of today, new data proves wrong tomorrow. Well, how about social science then? Social science, which tells us any lifestyle you choose is good. But look at all the evidence around us. Same-sex relationships cannot create life. Has unbridled sexuality led to fuller and more abundant life? Or an epidemic of broken families, abandoned families, fear, poverty, crime, unwanted babies, and abortion? Has social media brought us life and brought us closer together, or actually caused us to be more unsocial than ever before? And caused more separation, isolation, confusion, and stupid challenges that often lead to death. Well, those things could be good and life-giving. It's just that we're doing them wrong. We just need better leaders. This is those who look to politics to be their shepherd. And do I even need to go there? Look how politics is driving us farther apart, not closer together. And how about this delicious paradox? We're fighting a war to prevent a future war, using weapons of death to prevent weapons of death. And I'm sure you could think of a few more for this list. But how many are following these? Looking for life, thinking this will make my life better. When the reality and the evidence show exactly the opposite. How often do we have to keep running headfirst into the same wall before we realize that's a stupid thing to do? That wall we call death. That wall we cannot go over, under, around, or through. We've been trying for a very long time now, thousands of years, or millions or billions if you've bought into the myth of evolution, and we're still dying. There's no fountain of youth, no magic potion to make you live forever, no progressing beyond death. In fact, if anything is evolving, it's death, not life. New ways to die keep cropping up. New diseases, new weapons, new lifestyles, new ways to strip away life. Death shall be their shepherd. Yeah, when you look around, pretty accurate, isn't it? And so it is into this world, into all this, that Jesus comes and says, I am the good shepherd. And I am the door. The door through death to life. And then says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Pretty bold claim. How do we know we should follow him? That this is the way we should go, that this is the way of life. How do we know? Well, one very simple fact. The fact that we are proclaiming, especially this season, because his is the only grave that is empty. Everyone else who says, follow me, is still in the grave that swallowed them up. Still on the wrong side of the wall named death. Only Jesus punched a hole in that wall and passed from death to life. And so to follow him is to find that way to life. And not just life or a little life, but Jesus says abundant life. Lots of life, overflowing with life. Because that's the kind of life Jesus is and has and gives. Life filled with love and hope and joy and peace and contentment and forgiveness. Life filled with himself and his spirit. Life as he created it to be in the beginning. But which we, following our first parents like straying sheep, have wandered away from. But Jesus still wants that life for you and has that life for you and so is here with that life for you and brought you here to give that life to you. Yes, the fact that you are here is the work of your good shepherd who brought you here to restore you and heal you from the disease of sin with his forgiveness. To give you the water of his word, to refresh you with the truth, to wash you clean from the filth and stench of sin in his baptism, and to feed you with the food of his body and blood. That after another week of life-stealing sin, persecution, attacks, doubts, fears, life, and death, Jesus is here with his life-giving spirit, for there is life in no one else. Jesus is the door from death to life, which makes him the good shepherd. There are lots of death shepherds, only one good shepherd, only one who can make things good again, who can make you good again, objectively good, not just what you think is good. Good as in what creation was before sin came into the world. That's the good your good shepherd wants for you. But is that even possible? I mean, there is so much sin in us and in our world. Is it even possible to restore it all? In all people, and in a creation falling apart because of sin. We certainly can't do it. But nothing is impossible for God, right? So he will. But as Jesus showed us, the way to that good, the way to that life, the door to that life, is through death and resurrection. So there will be a new heavens and a new earth, Jesus said. The old will die, and a new will be brought forth, a new creation, good again. But there must be a new you as well. You must die and rise with Jesus. And that begins for you in baptism. That's where Jesus joins you to himself, so that you join him in his death and resurrection and begin to live a new life, a good life. But not what the world thinks is good. God's good. And as we heard from Peter today, you might suffer for that. You might suffer for doing that good, for living as the Christian you are, as Jesus did. For what did Jesus do to warrant death? Heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead, speak the word of God? But you see, living that good also highlights the bad and the errors that are in the world. And we don't like to admit or confess that ourselves, that we are sinners, that we haven't been good, that we've gone our own way. You know it. You don't like to do that. But that's the good breaking into this sinful world. Because you see, that's what this door also does. Jesus knocked a hole in the wall of death to life. And that also enables life to flow into this world of death. And so after his resurrection, Jesus sends back his spirit of life to give life. And he sends out his apostles to give his life to the world and to give his life-giving forgiveness and baptize. To baptize more people into his death and resurrection. That more people pass through death to life already now. That you do. To live a new and good life, a good and godly life. Following the good shepherd, not the death shepherd. Now, it seems like such an easy choice, doesn't it? And maybe on paper it is. But in real life, it's hard. Because those decisions not to sin and not to go along with the crowd and not do what everyone else is doing and not to do what you want, that's not easy. Others will think you strange at best, dangerous at worst. Dangerous to them and the way they want to live, and so they'll persecute you. Even if you're not really doing anything against them and just want good for yourself and for them, and maybe you've had this happen to you already. In words of ridicule, in how you're treated at work, being fired from a job, some Christians having lawsuits filed against them. Sure doesn't seem like abundant life when those things happen to you. But don't be fooled. Don't be deceived and misled. That's exactly what the devil wants you to think. The devil wants you to think the way of Jesus, the way of life, is actually the way of hardship and death so that you'll give up and give in and follow others, the death shepherds, which promise life and good and fun, but as we considered earlier, cannot deliver in the end, which many find out too late, that they've been swindled, robbed of the life they were pursuing. But Jesus isn't here to rob you of anything, but to give you life. He died for you so that you may have life, a brutal death by crucifixion. But he did so to break death and the grave for you, to punch a hole in that wall of death with his resurrection, so there be a door for you, so there be life for you. And that you not have to wait for that life. He gives it to you now. And yes, living in this world of death will be hard. Living this new life in an old, dead, sinful world will be hard. But it is also good. And good trumps hard. Because hard is only for a while. Good will be forever. So take a look at your life. How have you been? What have you been following? Who have you been following? If you're like me, it's a mixed bag. Some good, some... So repent and hear those wonderful words of absolution. Remember, you are baptized and have passed already from death to life in Jesus. And come through that door to the green pasture of his supper, to eat and drink his body and blood and be nourished in the good life, abundant life. Because with Jesus, there just is no other kind. Because Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Risen to life. And so in him, so are you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.